We begin Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah v'Chukos Hagoyim, the laws of idolatry and the statues or the rites of the Gentiles. Now, different Rambams have different headlines. In some Rambams, you'll see Hilchos Avodas Kechavim v'Chukosehem, the laws of the worship of stars and their laws, their statues, the statues of the worshiping of stars. The title that I chose, Hilchos Avodah Zarah v'Chukos Hagoyim, is the headline in the first print of Rambam, and I believe most or all other prints where there was no Christian censorship. Once there was Christian censorship, they changed Hilchos Avodah Zarah v'Chukos Hagoyim to Hilchos Avodas Kechavim v'Chukos Seyim, the laws of worshipping the stars and the statues around the customs of worshipping the stars, and you can probably figure out why the censorship changed that. Now, as usual, in the Rambam's unique focus on systemization, organization and order, he will not start the laws of Avodah Zarah, all of its 12 chapters in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. He will not do that. First, he will give the encyclopedic introduction of all of the mitzvahs that are going to be covered in this section of Rambam. The previous one, Hilchos Talmud Torah, only had two mitzvahs: the mitzvah to learn Torah and the mitzvah to respect and give honor to those who teach Torah and those who are great scholars in Torah, Talmidei Chachamim. This one has Yesh Bichlolon Achas V'Chamish Mitzvahs. Hilchos Avodah Zarah is going to cover 51 mitzvahs of the Torah. Shtei mitzvahs esrei v'teishem rabbayim mitzvahs lo yisasa. Two positive commandments and 49 negative commandments, violations. That's altogether 51 mitzvahs that we have in the Chumash that are focused on the halachas of Avodah Zarah, v'zehu pratim, and the Rambam is going to enumerate very briefly these 51 mitzvahs. And then in each of the subsequent 12 chapters of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he's going to explore some of these mitzvahs and elaborate on them and explain the nuances and the laws and the intricate details of them until he completes all the 51 mitzvahs. Now, since the Rambam gives this as his opening introduction because he wants everything should be orderly and categorized and organized in your mind, we're obviously going to go through these 51 mitzvahs. I'm going to go through them very swiftly without explaining them because the chapters are going to explain each mitzvah. So if you don't understand something, that is perfectly normal. That's why the Rambam wrote these halachas. So we go. Aleph. Shaloi lifnis achir avedis kechavim. Not to focus my mind and show interest and direct my soul towards idolatry. What that means, he's going to explain. Beis. Shaloi lasar achir hira levere yisei naim. Not to stray after the thoughts of one heart or the sight of one's eyes, as he will explain. Gimel shaloi legadif, not to curse God. Dalit, shaloi avodai zegadarech avodasa, not to worship false gods with the types of service with which they are customarily served. Hey shaloi yishtachavala, not to bow down to any false gods. Vav shaloi lasas pesela atzmai, not to make an idol for oneself. Zayin shaloi lasas pesela filu lachedim, not to make an idol even for others. Ches shaloi lasas tzuris afilu lanoi, not to make images even for decoration, as the Rambam will explain. Tes shaloi ladiach achedim acharen, not to persuade others to worship idols. Yud, lisroif ira nidachas, to burn a city that has become entrenched with idolatry. Yud, aleph shaloi levnoisa, never to rebuild the city. Yud, beis shaloi lehamis mekoma moina, not to derive benefit from any of the property of the city. Yud, gimel, shaloi lehasis yachid la'avaydes kechavim la'avda. La'avda, not to persuade a single individual to worship false gods. Yud, dalet, shaloi le'ahoiv ha'mesis, not to show love to the mesis, to one who is enticing others to engage in pagan idolatry. Test vav shaloi lazov sin asoi, not to neglect, not to abandon the hatred of such a person. Test zayin shaloi lahatzili, 16, not to save him. Yud zayin shaloi lalamed alav schus, 17, not to advance any argument positively on his behalf. Yud ches shaloi yamanam lalamed alav chayva, not to withhold information that will lead to his conviction. Yud test shaloi lihisnabe bishma, not to prophesize in the name of false gods. Chav shaloi lishma yamanam isnabe bishma, not to listen to anyone who prophesizes in the name of false gods. Chaf Aleph 21. Shaloi lisnabi b'sheker v'filu b'shem Hashem, not to give false prophecy even in the name of God. Chaf Beis. Shaloi lagur ma'arigas nevi sheker, not to fear executing a false prophet. Chaf Gimel 23. Shaloi l'shavu b'shem avadis kechavim, not to swear in the name of a false god. Chaf Dalet. Shaloi lasis oiv, not to perform the deeds associated with oiv, which was a form of sorcery, which will be discussed in Rambam. 25. Chaf Hei. Shaloi lasis yidoni, not to perform the deeds associated with another form of sorcery called Yid Oini, Chavav Shalila Havri Lamailach, not to offer your children to the pagan idol called Mailach, Chav Zayin Shalila Hakimat Seven, not to erect a pillar for purpose of worship, Chav Cheshalila Shtachavis 11 Maskis, not to prostrate oneself on hewn stones, Chav Tes Shalai Lita Ashera, not to plant an Ashera tree or plant, which we will discuss. Lamed La'abed Avedis Yechav Mechalanasa B'Shvila. Here is a positive commandment to destroy false gods and all of their objects of worship. Lamed Aleph, Shalai Lehanez Bavedis Yechav Mechal Meshamsha, not to benefit from false gods and all their objects of worship. Lamed Beis, Shalai Lehanez B'Tzipui Nevot, not to benefit from ornaments that adorn false gods. Lamed Gimel Shalai Lechriz Bris Lev Dekechavim, 33, not to establish a covenant with nations who worship false gods. Lamed Dalet, Shalai Lachain Alehem, not to show them favor, Lamed Heish L'Yeshu Baritzeinu, not to allow them to settle in our land, Lamed Vav Shalai Lihidamez B'minagoysam U'bimalbusham, not to follow their customs or manner of dress, Lamed Zayin Shalai L'Nachesh, 37, not to act as a soothsayer, he will explain, Lamed Ches Shalai Liksan, not to practice black magic, he will explain, Lamed Tes Shalai La'enin, not to practice divination, he will explain, Mem Shaloi Lach Bar Chever, not to cast spells. Mem Aleph Shaloi Lidur Shalameisim, not to seek information from the dead. Mem Beis Shaloi Lishol Ba'ayv, not to consult an ayv. Earlier he spoke about doing the ayv, doing the practices associated with him. I'm not allowed to consult somebody who is an expert on ayv. Mem Gimel Shaloi Lishol B'Yidoni, not to consult the form of magic called Yidoni. Mem Dalet Shaloi Lachashiv, not to practice sorcery. Mem Hey Shaloi Lahakiv Pa'asarech, 45 is not to shave the temples of our heads, what we call payas. Mem Vav 46, Shaloi Lahashkis Pa'azokin, not to shave off the corners of our beards. He will explain. Mem Zayin Shaloi Yade Ish Ede Isha, for a man not to wear a woman's jewelry and garments. He will explain. A woman not to wear the armament and garments and weapons that are usually worn by man. Not to tattoo one's body. Number 50. Nun not to make gashes, not to make cuts in one's flesh. Nun aleph shaloi lasas karchal meis, not to tear out here and make yourself bald in the mourning and the grief for the dead. So all in all, we have 49 negative commandments, what we're not allowed to do, and we have 2 positive commandments. What are the 2 positive commandments? Do you remember? The 2 positive commandments was number 10, lisroif ira nidachas, to burn a city that has become entrenched in idolatry, which is actually this week's parsha. Parshas Re'eh. And what was the second positive commandment? You see, all of them begin with Shaloi, Shaloi, Shaloi. The ones that don't have Shaloi, you know that they're positive. And that is number 30. So number 10 and number 30 were positive commandments, and that is to destroy idolatry and all of the objects that were created for it as part of its service. Rambam says, "Ubir kol ha-mitzvus ha'elu v'prokimeh." And the explanation of all these mitzvahs, all these 51 mitzvahs, will be explained and elucidated in the subsequent chapters. Now begins Perek Rishon, the first chapter of Rambam. Hilchos Avodah Zarah v'Chukos HaGoyim. Now, I must tell you that this Perek in Rambam is absolutely rare, fascinating, and unique. I don't know if there's another chapter like this in Rambam throughout the entire Mishnah Torah. It reminds us more of the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. The entire chapter from the beginning of it, from the beginning till the end, is basically history. And indeed, one would ask the question, how does it come into the Rambam, who defined his mission statement that this is a sefer of halacha, it's a sefer of laws, of directives, of how the Jew lives his or her daily life throughout all of Jewish history, including the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the time of Mashiach, as discussed in the introduction. Here, the Rambam has a whole chapter dedicated to history. Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, Bimei Enosh, in the days of Enosh. Who was Enosh? Enosh was a grandson of Adam Arishan. Adam had a son, Shais, and Shais had a son, Enosh. According to the chronology that is recorded in Parshas Bereishis, Enosh is born in the year 235 since creation. That means almost two and a half centuries after the creation of the world, and he dies in the year 1140, 1140 since creation. So basically, the story that the Rambam describes here about the days of Enosh spans somewhere between 2.5 centuries after the creation of the world until a little more than a millennium after the creation of the world. Bimei Enosh, in the days of Enosh, the third generation of the creation, Adam, Chava, and Shais and Enosh. To bnei Adam, tohu's gdoila. Mankind has made a great mistake, a great error. V'nivara atzas chachmei oisei hadoir. And the sages of that generation have essentially provided thoughtless counsel. Nivara means foolishness. The counsel, the perspective of the sages of that generation was foolish. Ve'enosh atzmoi min hatoyim. And Enosh himself, the grandson of Adam Arishan, was one of those who erred. Ve'zu hoysa to'usam, says the Rambam, let me tell you what their mistake was. Amru, they said, Ho yilva akel barakai chavamelu v'galgalim. Since Hashem is the one who created all these stars and all of these spheres, lahanigas ha'olam, in order to run the world, in order to be able to make sure that all the systems in our planet and in the cosmos are functioning. Unasan and Bamarim, and he placed them on high, v'cholaklem kavod, and he conferred great glory upon them, v'hem shamashim amashamshim lefonov, and they are servants who minister before Hashem, each star and each planet functioning according to its design purpose to be able to achieve what it needs to achieve. Ru'uyim heim l'shapchem ulefarim v'lachaklem kavod. They are certainly worthy to be praised, to be glorified, and we should confer respect upon them. V'zeu ratzon akel baruch hu. And this is the will of Hashem, legadel, to magnify, ulechabet, and to respect. Mi shegid loy v'chibdai. The ones who Hashem magnified and respected. K'mo shamalech roitz lechabed avada v'ayimdim lefanov. Just like a king would desire that we respect his own servants and those who stand before him. Certainly, Hashem wants us to respect His servants, those who He placed on high, those who He gave so much glory and so much power and so much influence. They run our planet and the cosmos. Certainly, it's the will of Hashem to show them glory, to show them honor, to respect them. V'zeu kvayde shel melech. And this is the kavod hamelech. This is the way you respect the king. When I show respect to the servant of the king, essentially, it's showing respect to the king. And when I disregard the servant of the king as meaningless, on the contrary, it's a disgrace, it's an insult to the king. So therefore, the Rambam says, this is the mindset that started to become entrenched during the generation of Enosh, including Enosh himself. Kivan Shaladovar Azal Libam. The moment they started to develop these types of ideas, Ischilu Livnes like a Chavim Hechalois, so they started to construct for the stars temples. Ulahakriv lehem karbonis, and they started to offer them sacrifices. Ulashapcham, and to praise them. Ulafaram, and to glorify them. Bidvarim, through words. Ulishtachav islamulon, and to bow down before them. Kedei lahasig rotzen aboyri bedaitam ara. And the objective is to fulfill the will of the creator of the entire universe according to their false perception. According to their false perception, they want to fulfill Hashem's will. And how do you fulfill Hashem's will? One of the things is certainly by glorifying and showing respect to all of those heavenly bodies and existences which are so crucial and so powerful. Of course, everything that we gain from the sun, the moon, the other planets, etc. Says the Rambam, v'zehoye ikir avodah zarah. And this was the foundation of all avodah zarah. This is the ikir, this is the basis of all of Avodah Zarah. And this is what was preached by those who served all these planets, who understood the essence of Avodah Zarah. They did not deny God. They did not deny God's existence. And they said, oh, this star is responsible for the world. No, that was not the case. On the contrary, for them, it was an extension of divine service. As the Rambam says, they believed this is the covenant of Hashem. Hu Shayirmiyo Oimer. This notion is articulated by the Navi Yirmiyah in chapter 10. Yirmiyah says, Milo Yiracha Melech Agoyim ki lecho yasa, ki b'chol chachmi Agoyim uv'chol malchusa me'inkamoicha. Who will not fear you, the king of all the nations? You are the one suited for awe, for reverence, because among all the sages of all the Gentiles and in all their empires, there's nobody like you. In one point, they are ignorant and foolish. Musar havalim. They chastise the people to worship vanity. Eitzu, pieces of wood. Kaloimar, what Yirmiyah meant is, hakol yoidin shatu akel vadecha. Everybody knows that the world has one singular creator. There's no other God. Aval ta'usam uchsilusam. Their error and their foolish mistake was shemedamin, they believed shezeha hevel. This vanity, this emptiness, ritzoin chohu, this is your desire that we should glorify through words and through actions and through sacrifices and through bowing down the various heavenly stars, constellations, planets, spheres, etc. This is the ikir avodah zarah, the Rambam says, not denying God, but what? Attributing significance, power, glory, something special to those objects that Hashem created and gave them so much power and significance. They don't die, they continue to live, and they have this special space and place and responsibility for our continuous existence on this planet. Halacha Beis. V'achash archu ayamim, the Rambam says, let's now get to stage B. V'achash archu ayamim, after many days and years passed, beyond the generation of Enosh, amdu b'bnei Adam neviyei sheker. Now there arose among people, among humanity, false prophets. In Halacha Aleph, there were no false prophets. There was a mistake. There was a terrible error. The Rambam says, toz g'doyla. A foolish misconception. But now we have the phenomenon of liars. Deceptive people. False prophets. What do they say? V'amru, they say, Sha'akel tzivalahem. God spoke to me. V'amarlem, and he told them, Ivdu koichav ployni akala kechavam. God told me, you should worship, you should serve that particular star, or all the stars. V'akrivoloi, and offer sacrifices to him. V'naschuloi, offer libations to him. You pour various beverages, like wines to him. Kach v'kach, in this way or that way. U'benuloi heichal. And build a special temple for this star. Vasu tzurasai. And replicate the image of this star. Sculpture the image of this star. So that the entire nation, women, children, and all of the common people should bow down to this form that you created, a replica of this star, an image of this star. Sometimes this false prophet will notify them a certain form that he himself invented in his own heart. And he says, this is the form of that particular star that they notified me, that God notified me during the prophecy, that this is the type of star he wants us to worship. And following this path, they started lasas tzuras b'hichalos to start creating, sculpturing forms that they would place in temples. V'sachas ha'ilonis, they would place them under trees. U'b'roshi ha'horim, they would place them on top of mountains. V'al ha'gvoyis, and on top of hills. U'miskaptzim u'mishtachvim lehem. And the masses would gather together and they would bow to these idols, to these carved images, whether they were made from rock, whether they were made from wood, whether they were made from metals, and they would say, these false prophets would tell the people, Shazu Hatsura, this form, Mitiva Umireya, can either bring you benefit or it can harm you. And therefore it is quite appropriate to serve it, and it's quite appropriate to fear it. And the priests, who now have a wonderful job and vocation, running all of these temples and all of these centers of idolatry, tell the people, through this worship of this form, you will prosper and you will be successful. And let me tell you, do so and so, refrain from so and so. In other words, this type of worship will give you the benefit and will allow you to prosper. This can actually hinder your success and get this form very angry. Now you have another group of liars. First we have the false prophets who are speaking in the name of God that Hashem now said, worship this star and build, create, and sculpture these images to replicate these types of heavenly bodies. But now there's a new set of liars. Lamed v'leima, they get up and say, Sha'koichav atzmai, the star itself, Oy ha'galgal, or the sphere, Oy ha'malach, or the angel, Diber imam, spoke to them. The star spoke to me. The planet spoke to me. The sphere spoke to me. The Rambam discussed the system of the spheres and the planets at length in Hilchus Yisodei HaTorah, the first section of Rambam. If you'll remember that, take a look chapter 2, especially chapter 3, which we discussed at length with all the images, so you can understand a little better the words that he is using here. The sphere itself spoke to me, the angel. You know what it said? V'amalem, the angel said, Ivduni bekach vekach. The prophet spoke in the name of God. God said, worship this star. Now the star itself spoke to me, and the star told me last night, serve me through these and these rituals. The star or the angel of the sphere also told me the right path to worship it. Do this and don't do this. And Rambam says, this notion, this idea spread throughout all of humanity, throughout the whole world, to start serving and worshiping all of these engraved forms, all of these sculptured forms, in so many different types of rituals and ways of service. Rambam says, Mishuna is one more distorted and more crazy than the other, and to offer sacrifices to them and to bow down to them. The Rambam says, V'kivan sh'aruchu hayamim. Now we come to the next stage. As history continues and the days move on, life moves on, Nishtakeya Hashem Anichbad Vaneir Mipikol Ayikum. The name of Hashem, the name of the glorious and awesome, the glorious and awesome name of Hashem is obliterated. It's forgotten from all of humanity, from all of civilization. Umidaitam, and from their mind. Veloyikiru, they do not recognize, they are not aware that there is such a reality. Venimtsu, what happens is kolamaret, all the common folk, vahanoshim and the women, vaktanim and the children, einon yoidin, they do not know anything ella but about atzura, the form shall eitz, made from wood or evan or made from stone, vahahechel or the temple shall binyan which was constructed, sheneschanchu mikratnusam lishtachves len lovdom lishavabishman, for they were indoctrinated from the youngest years to bow down to them, to serve them, and to swear in their name. V'chachamim shayu behen. And the philosophers, the sages among them, like the priests who are running all of these centers of pagan idolatry, they are already the more intelligent one, the more learned ones. Midamim, they believe, she'ein sham eleka ela akechavim v'agalgalim shenasu atzurus elu biglalan. There is no God outside of these stars or these spheres for which all of these images were made in order to replicate them and represent them here on earth. Ulid Musan, they were made based on their image, based on their visage. These forms were made biglalon for them, ulid Musan, and a replica of them. Aval tsur ha'ilamim, but the rock of the worlds, or you can also translate it as the eternal rock, lo yahya sham makir velo yaday. There was nobody who recognized it. There was nobody who knew about it. Ela yechidim ba'olam. Few individuals in the world who knew about the true reality of the world, the rock of the universe, the tsur ha'ilamim, the essential rock, which means the cornerstone, the essence of reality, and the eternal rock of reality. Nobody knew about it, besides a few individuals. Kegain, for example, Chanoich, Mesu Shelach, Noyach, Shem, and Ever. He mentions here five people, Chanoich, Mesu Shelach, Noyach, Shem, and Ever. We see either from the text of the Chumash or from the Midrashim that these five individuals indeed recognized the truth of Hashem's reality as the core behind all of creation. But besides these people, the Rambam says Kegoin, because obviously he believes that there were others, these are just examples. Besides for them, pure ignorance reigned supreme. Valderech Zahaya Ulam is Galgal Vahilach. And so the world was just rolling and going, you know, moving. And I think these words are significant. Mezgalgal is just like a wheel. It turns, it turns, and turns. There's no purpose. There's no end. There's no objective. There's no progress, really. It's mezgalgal v'hoylech, the cyclical moving around and around. At shenoylad amudoy shaloylam shu Avram Avinu. Until the pillar of civilization, the pillar of humanity, the pillar of the world is born. And this is the human being we know as Avram Avinu, Avram our father, who according to our tradition, according to the biblical records in Bereshit and Noach, it's clear that Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948 since creation, 1948, which would mean almost 2,000 years since Adam HaRishon and the beginning of the creation of the world. Comes now Halacha Gimel to introduce the revolution of Avraham Avinu, who the Rambam calls Amudoy Shel Oilam, the pillar of civilization. Kivon, and it is interesting to note, just in parentheses, that today there are, 7.7 billion people in the world, and literally billions of individuals consider themselves in one way or another heirs of Avraham Avinu. Kivon, and the Rambam says, even if you don't consider yourself an heir, Avraham Avinu became the pillar of the world, of civilization. Kivon, shenigmal eisan zeh. One's this eisan. Eisan means one's this mighty one, this powerful one. Eisan is the strong, powerful one. This is the term he uses for Avraham Avinu, which is a term that we find in Medrash about Avraham Avinu. Maskila eisan hez rochi is Avraham Avinu. Why does the Rambam use this term? He could say Kivon shenigmal Avraham. It will be very clear why he uses this term when you see how he describes the youth and the life of Avraham Avinu. You understand why the only way you can appreciate Avraham Avinu and the best way to describe him is as an Eson, as somebody whose powerful conviction and powerful dedication for truth was unshakable, unwavering, uncompromising. It was non-negotiable. Therefore, he's called an ace, and that's what allowed Avraham Avinu to be Avraham Avinu. Kivon shenigmal eisan zeh. When this powerful person was weaned, and they usually, as Chazal say, children would nurse for approximately 24 months, for 2 years, and then afterwards they were weaned off into regular foods. He says, once this powerful person was weaned, meaning he was still a young child, his chil shaitit bedaitai. He began to explore with his mind. He's still a child. And he's thinking during the day and during the night, which means his thoughts are incessant. Every moment he's exploring. And he's wondering. He's asking questions. That's the beginning of Avraham. He's asking questions. He's curious. He's inquisitive. He's eager to know. And he asks, I have a question. How is it possible that this sphere is constantly moving? The whole system
of the planet. It's moving. This sphere, this galgal, he's referring here to the galgal atri, the galgal ayomi discussed in Hilchas Yesodei HaTorah. It's noyik tamid, it's always moving. V'lo yilei manik. And there's nobody behind it. There's nobody who is creating this motion. Mi yisavev oisai? Who's turning it? Who's causing this revolving, this orbit? Lefi she'efshah she'yisavev atzmai. It's impossible that he should just orbit on his own. V'lo yilei loy melamed v'lo medi adavar. Avram had no teacher. He had nobody to share anything with him. He is submerged in a place called Ur Kasdim, a city called Ur Kasdim, among foolish people who are entrenched in the notions of idolatry, as the Rambam described in the first two halachas, what those notions were. Ur Kasdim is a place where Avraham Avinu was born, where he grows up. It's often associated today with a city they call Ur, U-R, and in the archaeological excavations, it's quite obvious that this place Ur had civilization already there more than 5,000 years, 4,000 years, which is in southern Iraq, I believe southern Iraq, around 10 miles west from the bed of the Euphrates River. This is where Avraham Avinu is growing up, and he starts asking questions. He sees there is movement. He sees there's incredible intricate intelligence. He sees there is purposefulness. He sees motion, which we attribute today to the laws of nature. Why is the Galgal moving? Why are the planets moving? Why is this orbit, the orbit of the earth, the orbit of the planets? What is this all about, the orbit of the Galgal the Rambam is talking about? So we call it the laws of nature, but of course the Avraham Avinu wants to know who created these laws of nature. And why are the laws of nature rational? Why do they make sense? And how is it that the entire cosmos adheres to these laws of nature? And how is it that these laws of nature all complement each other to allow for life on our planet and to allow for the cosmos to continue? These are the types of questions Avraham Avinu was asking. The Rambam says he was exploring this during the day and during the night. What does he mean by Yoim Ubalayla? By Yoim Ubalayla? The Rambam could say he was always exploring it. What does he mean by Tamid, he was always thinking about this, you know? These young, curious children who become the great thinkers or scientists of generations who discover various truths that are maybe revolutionary and counterintuitive because they don't stop thinking from when they're young children. But the Rambam here says, Bayoim Ubalayla. And of course, it seems to me that he's intimating what the Medrash says, that he was actually thinking about the phenomena of day and the phenomena of night. He wasn't just thinking during the day and during the night. He was exploring the phenomena we call day and the phenomena we call night. As the Medrash says, people were worshipping the sun, which made a lot of sense. The sun is responsible for so much of what we have, including light, including warmth, including climate, including photosynthesis, which means without the sun, we could not live. So obviously the sun must be the source of everything. But then as the Rambam is following the sun's patterns, he sees sunrise and sunset and the moon comes up, and he starts realizing that ultimately the sun, as grand as it is, sets. And it can't be the master of the universe. And the same he does with the sun, and the same he does with the rain, and the same he does with the winds. In other words, what the Rambam is intimating here is that Avraham Avinu sees not only that there are laws of nature that are rational, and not only that these laws of nature ultimately produce a world that everything has its function and purpose and mechanism, and it's purposeful. It leads to a purpose, and it's designed in such an intricate and intelligent way to be able to fulfill its purpose. Day and night also means he sees the interdependence and interconnection of everything. In other words, the sun on its own would be worthless. The sun needs so many other factors in order to be able to achieve its ultimate purpose of what it does. And the same is true with every other creation. So the interconnectedness, how everything actually depends on each other in order to be able to function, Avraham Avinu is searching what is going on here. What is the truth? He doesn't only discover the infinite wisdom of the creation. He sees that all of creation is united in one purpose, which is one of the most incredible things when you study nature, or you study cosmology, or astronomy, or biology, or botany, geology, or really any discipline that you study of the natural sciences of our world, we see this unity, and it's just incredible. You know, I was reading the other day how purpose of lightning. Lightning allows the nitrogen, 70% of the atmosphere, 6% is nitrogen, which we desperately need to live, because without that, we can't create amino acids, but there's no way that we can absorb nitrogen. But it's the lightning that allows the nitrogen to be able to mix with oxygen, so now it could come down in the droplets of rain to the ground, and now the earth absorbs it, and now everything that we eat from the earth, or the animals that eat from the earth, has the nitrogen so that we could survive. That unity, that's what the Rambam says, by day and by night. He studied the day and he studied the night. That the sun is not everything. The sun sets, the sun is interdependent and interconnected with everything else. So you have, just to give one example to understand what the Rambam is saying, you have the sun, by evaporation, pumps up water to provide rain. So if you have the sun, but without the ability to pump up the water, it serves as a pump to evaporate the water, there was no way you'll have rain, and there's no way you're going to be able to have a fertile planet and things that grow so that we could be able to live. Now you have the winds. The winds convey the rain clouds over the face of the earth. If you wouldn't have the winds, what would happen? The sun would evaporate the water, you would have clouds, but it would rain right back into the oceans. So the rest of our planet would be completely desert and infertile. The water would go back where it came from. What do the winds do? The winds scatter the clouds. So now much of earth can have the nutrition and the produce that allows us and all of the animal kingdoms and all of the trees to live. So the winds spread around the clouds over the earth. The earth labors to produce food. Earthworms and other insects work the soil. Bacteria participates in the soil's functions. Animals and insects feed each other and control each other. Plants are pollinated by insects and winds. The lightning cooperates, as we said, with the oxygen and the nitrogen of the air, so can fertilize the soil and allow us to be able to function, to have the cells that we need. So the sun is involved in the production of food no less than the earthworm. It's a food-making sun, and the winds are food-making wind. And the soil, insects, bacteria, animals, lightning, and air are all implicated in this process and in every other process that we see in this world. These are the types of things that Avraham Avinu is investigating. We can go on for this for a few days or years, but I hope you get the point. But Avraham has no teacher. He has nobody to guide him, nobody to mentor him, nobody to teach him anything. Avraham Avinu had a father. His father's name was Terach. His mother's name, the Gemara says, Mababasra Tzadik Aleph. You know what Avraham Avinu's name was? Amasloi. His father and his mother, V'chalom, and all the people over them, Avodah Zarah, were entrenched in idolatry. And he was worshipping with them. He was a kid in his parents' home. You're in Rome, you do as in Rome. But he's not satisfied. His heart is exploring. His heart is searching. His heart is discerning. Until he came at the path of truth. Until he grasped the truth. He grasped Kavat Tzedek means the line, the thought process, which is true, which makes sense. He did this, the Rambam says, because he was honest. Because he was objective. Because he did not allow bribery, including what we call confirmation bias, preconceived notions, fear, peer pressure, comfort, luxury, not wanting to disturb my life schedule, not wanting to find truth. Avraham Avinu understands I have to remove all bias from my mind, that my mind should truly be pure and clear. V'yodan, he realizes, sheyesham eloka echad, that there is one divine core, one divine infinite source, v'humanig halgalgal, who is the one who leads the sphere, meaning the one responsible for all the motion in the universe and for all of the systems in the universe, v'hu bara hakol, he created everything, v'ein b'chol hanimtza l'kachutz mimenu, and there's nothing in the world. There's no God outside of him, meaning this is a God that is essentially one and unified, and essentially this is the God that is the God of the entire universe. The entire universe is a manifestation of God's will, of God's wisdom. Hence the unity, hence the design, hence the intelligence, hence the fact that everything has a purpose, and everything's purpose feeds the other thing that has a purpose, ultimately for a unified purpose, because there is one God, one reality. V'yada, he also realized, Shekala Amtayim, everybody is making a mistake. You understand why the Rambam used the word Esam? Everybody's making a mistake. Everybody lost the plot. They're not thinking. And why? Because they're busy from childhood worshipping stars and engraved images, and truth is not part of reality anymore. Avraham Avinu is 40 years old when he recognizes his creator. The Ravid says, the Gemara says in the Darim Lamed Beis, Avraham Avinu was 3 years old. We all know Ben Shalosh Shanim Hikar Avraham is Beirei. The Kesef Mishnah explains beautifully. Look at the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says when he was weaned, he began to explore. They were weaned after 24 months. In other words, in the third year, Avraham Avinu began to recognize truth. How? By starting to ask questions. When he was 40 years old, he finally reached a full recognition and understanding of the truth about the world, that there is a creator we call Hashem. Now, it's interesting. In most of our Medrashim, it says Ben Memches Shana, 48. So the Kesef Mishnah says probably the Rambam had a text, a version, where it says 40. But most Medrashim says 48. There's even a Medrash that says 50. So obviously the Rambam chose this version, and we'll explain that in the question and answer session. Kivan Sheikir V'yada, the moment Avram Avinu recognized all of this, his Chilo Hashiv Tshuvas al B'nei Rekazdim. He was not going to be quiet about it. He started to speak up. He started to challenge all the citizens in his city, or Kazdim, Velarech Dinimon, started to debate them, Veloimar, and he started to say, Shein Zu Derech HaMashatam HaLchimba. You guys are completely entrenched in ridiculous vanity. This is not the path of truth that you're following. V'shibar Hatzlamim. He broke the idols, he broke the forms. V'hizchil Odi Elam, Shein Roi Lavad, Ela Lelekao Ilam, Veloi Roi Lishtach, V'shil Akri V'lanasach, Kidei Shekiru, Kol Abruim Aboyim. He started to teach the people that it's not appropriate to serve only to the God, the creator of the whole world, and to him it's appropriate to bow and to offer sacrifices and libations so that all of creation should recognize who they are and what they are. And it's also appropriate to destroy and break all of the forms so that they shouldn't become sources that cause the entire world to be engaged in foolish error and vanity. Like these, living today, who think there's no God besides these forms. Get rid of them, destroy them. The moment Avram Avinu prevailed over them, through his logic, through his proof, it was impossible to refute him. What happens? What do you do when somebody is so good, when you see somebody is correct? So the king of Ur Kasdim seeks to kill him. Kill the messenger and everything will be good. Says, a miracle occurred to him. He left Ur Kasdim and he went to the city of Haran, which is today associated with Haran in northern Iraq, southern Turkey. And he begins to rise and to declare with a great voice to the entire nation and to teach them, there is one monotheistic God for the entire world. The entire universe is really one guided, directed, created, orchestrated, and ran by a singular, infinite creator who transcends matter, who transcends time, who transcends space. And him, it is appropriate to serve. Now, here, listen to the words of the Rambam. Avram travels, and he declares, he calls out. He goes from city to city and from empire to empire, and he gathers the masses. Until he arrives in the land of Canaan, which would later become, of course, Israel. And he still calls out his great declaration, as the Pasuk says in Vayera, he called out there in the name of Hashem, God of the world, the eternal one of the world, the ultimate core of the world. As the people gather and they ask him, you know, Avram Avinu is holding sermons and presentations and lectures and debates and classes and seminars and workshops and retreats. They start asking him, what are you saying? He would address every individual based on his or her intellectual capacity and based on his or her mindset. This is a fascinating detail around him. He's not just giving lectures to the masses. People start asking questions. Each person, he explains this truth based on what the person can absorb, because you're dealing here with a truth about infinity. And it's not so easy to graduate your mind from a rock, an image, an engraved piece of silver that you have been worshiping, to truths of an infinite nature. Until Avraham Avinu brings him back to the path of truth. Until they're gathered around Avraham, people in the thousands and in the myriads, in the tens of thousands, and they are called the people of the house of Avraham. Anshe Beis Avraham, which is based on a pasuk in Vayera Perek Yud Zayin, Anshe Beis Avraham, these are the people that constitute, they become the house of Avram. Avram Avinu planted in their heart this great fundamental truth about reality. He uses the word v'shasal, which is very similar to the words in the Torah, v'yita eshal b'ver shav v'yikra sham b'shem Hashem k'loilam v'chiber b'y svarim. Avram Avinu composed svarim, he composed books to explain all of this. This is, of course, based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Yudalid, where the Gemara says that Avram Avinu had svarim about Avodah Zarah 400 chapters. 400 chapters about this sugya that Avram Avinu authored and composed. There's also another tradition of Zohar that Avram Avinu composed what we call Sefer Yitzira. But the Rambam says he wrote books. Next, Vahidiyah li Yitzchak Bnoi. He shared all this. He gave it over to Yitzchak, his son. V'yashav Yitzchak melamed u'machzer. Yitzchak continues this vocation. He sits and he teaches people about this truth, and he brings back those who went astray to the truth. V'yitzchak haydiyay le'yakov. Yitzchak shares and transmits all this information to his son Yaakov. U'minohu l'lamed. And he nominates him to teach others. V'yashav melamed u'machzer kol anilhu me'lov. And Yaakov spends his life sitting and teaching to everybody who will listen these truths, and he brings back anyone who he can, those who ultimately accompany him in this life and pursuit of truth and nothing but the truth. Question I want to plant in your mind, I'm not going to address it now. When it comes to Yitzchak, it says Avraham Avinu notified, gave this information to Yitzchak without any other instructions. And Yitzchak followed his father's path. When it comes to Yaakov, it says Yitzchak nominated Yaakov to teach. Why doesn't it say Avraham nominated Yitzchak to teach? That he doesn't say. Interesting. V'Yaakov Avinu limed banav kula. You start changing the world by changing your house. Yaakov Avinu teaches the path of truth to all of his children. All of his children he teaches this. V'hivdil Levi, he separates his son Levi, uminohu Rosh, and he nominates him as a Rosh Hashiva, as the spiritual leader, as the great scholar. Obviously, he was the one suited for this. V'yeshiva b'yeshiva l'lama derech Hashem v'lishma mitzvayis Avram. And he takes Levi, and he establishes him to run the yeshiva, to sit in the yeshiva, to teach everybody the path of Hashem, and to observe the mitzvahs of Avraham Avinu. He tells his children that they should never stop appointing somebody from the family of Levi, a leader after a leader. Somebody from the family of Levi throughout the generations should always be in charge to make sure that this type of learning, this type of philosophy, this type of scholarship, this type of truth is being taught. In other words, this is the unique vocation and responsibility of Levi and that tribe. Of course, we know Moshe Rabbeinu comes from Levi. We'll soon see. And this thing is growing. It's growing stronger. It went from Avram to Yitzchak to Yaakov. Avram had all these tens of thousands of people, Yitzchak and then Yaakov. And it keeps on growing with the children of Yaakov and those who accompany them. It's not just a family affair. There's no nepotism here. What happens here is, in the world, there develops a nation that has divine awareness. There is a nation, Ummah, a nation, which knows God, which is defined by divine consciousness, by the consciousness of infinity, by the consciousness of the awareness of the truth of reality. A nation develops, not just the family of Yaakov, all the people, all the students, all the disciples, Ummah. Another question I'm going to plant is, what happened to all the tens of thousands of people that gathered around Avraham Avinu? Where did they disappear to? Think about it. Ad sha'aruchu ayam li'isol b'mitzrayim. Until many years later, the Jews arrive in Egypt. Yaakov Avinu, of course, lives his last 17 years in Egypt. And the days get very long in Egypt, which means time moves on in Egypt. And the Jewish people now have reverted back. They started to learn from the lifestyles of the Egyptians and become involved in idolatry like the Egyptians. There was only one tribe that maintained the instructions of their forefathers. The tribe of Levi never worshipped idolatry. Not in Egypt, and of course later on, after the exodus of Egypt, they would never engage in idolatry. Within a short time, relatively speaking, the fundamental principle that Avram had planted would have been uprooted. Because after they're in Egypt, they go back to idolatry. And what would have happened is the children of Yaakov would have reverted to the error of all the nations and to their getting lost in the wilderness of history. But because of Hashem's love to us and of him guarding and protecting the oath that he made to Avraham Avinu, also Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shel Kol HaNaviim, Ushlachai, Hashem taught and made Moshe Rabbeinu the Rebbe, the teacher of all of the authentic prophets, and he sent him as his messenger, as his ambassador, to go teach the Jewish people and, of course, to liberate them from Egypt. Kivan Shenisnabi Moshe Rabbeinu, the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a prophet, Ubochar Hashem be Yisrael l'nachala, and Hashem chose the Jewish people as an eternal inheritance, Hichtiron b'mitzvahs. Hashem crowned them with mitzvahs. And he notified the Jewish people the true way of serving the creator of the world. And including he notified them, what should be the law towards idolatry, how we should treat idolatry, and all those who go astray and surrender to the errors and mistakes of idolatry. This becomes part of the system of Torah and mitzvahs that Hashem communicates to the Jewish people through the Rebbe of all the prophets, through Moshe Rabbeinu. This concludes the first chapter of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which is an introduction to the following 11 chapters, as is quite obvious. Okay, the shiur is over now. Those who want to stay around, I'm going to take some questions. You can put in your questions here on the item. You see, ask your question, and I will, Be'ezer Hashem, address some questions. Let's go.